This is CliffCentral.com.
Is there any value in Bitcoin mining? Well, it was a question I asked of Sean Sanders, and given that some cryptocurrencies might be overvalued, how do we figure out which one's the best to buy? Sean is the CEO of Revix. You can get the answers to these questions on Beyond Bitcoin. Stay up to date with all things crypto that now are at cliffcentral.com. You can get it on the app or wherever you get your podcasts. Beyond Bitcoin, brought to you by Revix, a revolutionary new cryptocurrency investment platform that have made it safe and easy for South Africans to invest in cryptocurrencies. You can go along to our website, cliffcentral.com, and find out more. Or wherever you get your podcasts, you know, that's we try to make it easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to make it simple. Yes. All right, so Leanne's just brimming over with stories for us this morning.
She can
hardly contain herself. Where do you want to start, Yaz?
So, yeah, Miss South Africa.
What happened there? Because I didn't watch it. I didn't go to the event. I saw a couple of people looking very sexy. I've got to give credit where it's due.
Nothing amazing happened, really. It's just I read an interesting City Press article. You know, the media receives these press releases from like the South Africa people, right?
Yes.
And they just report on it and they say, this is what happened and so won and this was the prize.
Right, they basically just parrot whatever they're given in a press release.
And it's just rare that you'll see, not on a blog, but in a newspaper, an honest description of the pageant.
Ooh, and just, what do they say?
So this, as mentioned yesterday, was Pumlani S. Langa who wrote it. Miss SA, it's all show but no substance. And they basically explained in very basic terms and honest terms how the whole thing rolled out.
Yeah.
For instance, they said Bonang Matebe was the host, stole the show. They should have just given her the crown and be done with it. She supplied the judges with her own champagne brand. And wore a number of outfits. They said they need to find another host as that sister makes it hard to see anyone else on that stage with her. Apparently, everyone who attended was very, very well dressed. Like Gareth, you mentioned you saw some people who were.
Do you remember Leanne Liebenberg?
Up. Oh, yeah.
Very fine. But
described the Pretoria venue as underwhelming, the casino and hotel complex. They say that the people who attended, the actual guests, were better dressed than the people who were actually on the stage.
Oh, wow.
So that's on the judging.
Awkward.
Damning of them, isn't it?
On the judging panel were Connie Ferguson and Anele Mdoda.
Yes.
Who the crowd absolutely loved.
Well, and this is after Anele and Fat Joe got into a war of words.
Now, I heard about
week.
This. Apparently, Fat Joe said Anele was too fat and unattractive to be judging other people for being fat and thin and attractive.
Well, alluded to that, yes.
Yeah, I mean, and then she apparently hit back really hard and he had to apologize and
I like this. The venue was quite full, which means people paid actual money to go and watch women stroll about on stage in nightgowns and swimsuits before attempting to answer questions pertaining to world peace. Whether the idea of a beauty pageant is beneficial to feminism or not, it's just corny.
Well, corn, yes, but why are we also overthinking this?
Yeah, why does it have to be more than that? I mean, I've always maintained, you know, the guy who used to run Miss America was Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew that the value of Miss America was just beautiful women on a stage in swimsuits.
And for him, sometimes finding a girlfriend or two.
Yeah, sometimes he'd find a wife or a girlfriend.
Just a shag.
Now, I do not understand why people get upset about this stuff.
It just is what it is.
Yeah, why does everything have to be a political statement? Like some stuff. And remember, there are girls in towns all over South Africa who are, they've got nothing but being pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Why shouldn't they also be able to make a good living? Why shouldn't they also be able to have a good life?
Mm-hmm.
Just because they've got pretty. Pretty is good. We should celebrate pretty. I have no problem with this at all.
She's beauty and she's grace. She's Miss United States.
So the author goes on to say, yes. All the contestants looked the same, whether black or white, although people with melanin got louder screams than those without.
Shim.
It just doesn't change the price of my bread.
Yeah. You didn't watch it, though. You're not interested at all.
Like this person says, do we need to know what your beach body looks like if you're going to bring world peace to us? They're just such juxtapositions, your beach body and world peace.
I know.
It's just cringeworthy.
But this is the point. Like, again, it's hypocrisy, right? Some people go to Miss South Africa and imagine it's some kind of political statement. It really isn't.
But then there's
just
maybe
a pretty contest.
Should it not be called then the pretty contest?
Well, exactly.
And not Miss South Africa.
Oh, but please, like, what? Calling it, naming it after the country. She's the prettiest girl in South Africa. Why else do we give a shit?
Mm.
Prettiest
Leanne, what,
girl
what bothers
in South
you
Africa?
About it?
Again, I think it might be because it was something that I really valued growing up.
Did you?
For?
Well, I was taught to get excited about, oh, it's Miss South Africa coming up on TV. Let's watch it. It was a big thing. I met a few Miss South Africas, actually, mm-hmm. by total chance. I was locked in a bathroom. One of them rescued me.
You have a strange
And then she did my, and then she did my makeup.
Woman.
My mom did, and she was like, oh, Miss South Africa's got my daughter perched on the sink in the bathroom doing her makeup.
Leanne, your adventures.
You really do have some really unbelievable adventures.
The Margaret Gardners of the world. And
so you were into it.
Oh, yeah. I was very into it.
Okay.
And I'm just, I don't know if there's so much value placed on it anymore. It used to be such an important thing. And also it was because I was younger and it was the princess life and the fairy tale life. And it's just, it's not reality.
No.
That's not Miss South Africa's fault, Leanne. That's your fault for building up this fantasy in your head.
Well, then I totally claim it. It
and
is
this,
my fault.
Yeah, it is fault. Not reality. Yeah. Like her, our new Miss South Africa's life changed completely.
Correct.
That from the moment her time, her name was announced, she's now been shipped off to interviews and parties and more cocktail dresses. And she now has an apartment in Sandton and she'll keep that for a year. And it's not reality.
No.
You know, that, and that's just all part of it. I want everyone who might have an issue with how beauty pageants are, let there be a Miss Brains, a Miss Activist, a Miss
Congeniality.
Plus Size, and then a Miss Sexy. Let's see what will right. get more viewers, and let's see what will get more support.
Correct. And you know what?
I think that's better. Call it what it is.
Miss Activist is going to get no people, especially no men.
Let's see. And what the criteria is.
Why do I immediately see thick bottle bottom glasses and a xylophone?
Miss Activist.
Yes.
Oh, I don't want to say what I just pictured because I don't want to be taken down.
Miss Activist guaranteed to be the one who gets the least
vegan.
Attention.
I'm not going to say anything.
Be a vegan. Your life will be better.
So to find out more about our new Miss South Africa for 2019, her name is Zozibini Thunzi.
She's got a good ring to that.
Zozibini Thunzi.
Yeah.
Like that. Okay. She's 25 years old. She's currently doing her BTech in public relations at the Cape Peninsula University of Technology. And she says, you know, she never really thought about being Miss South Africa one day, even though she entered her first beauty pageant at the age of 7. That was her mother signing her up for a church pageant to socialize and make friends. And
see, but again, this is what happens in a lot of these little villages and towns across South Africa is a pretty girl gets a chance to do interesting things just because she's pretty. Mm. And why would anyone have a problem with that? Why would anyone go, oh, no, we don't know if we want that? Absolutely we do. We want to give everyone a chance to do what they can and to show off their skills and their talents, even if their talent is just being pretty. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but it's sold as being more than that.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Bullshit.
Yeah, she first entered the pageant back in 2016 and she only reached the semifinals back then and cut to 2019 where she's now won and she walks away with a total prize package of 3 million rands. Mm. That's in actual cash and also sponsorship deals. And I think that is a pretty penny.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be a prize, right? No one's going to do this for fun.
3 million rands.
That's
goodness.
Good. She gets a car. She gets the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
And she basically gets everything else. Clothes and spas and...
Very good.
Who you name it, she gets it. The runner-up gets R250,000 in cash. That's Sashali Oliver. And everyone who made the top 16 receives 25,000 rands.
Okay.
And bragging rights. So, hey.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I used to also get uppity about these things and go, well, what does it mean? And is it important in the world and feminism and who cares? Like, honestly, really, like most people are just doing it for fun.
Yeah.
Do it for fun.
I'm certainly no feminist. I'll tell you that much.
What? God, you can't say that.
Definitely
burn
not.
Burn in hell.
But I think in summary, perhaps it's because it's a beauty pageant, yet it's being sold as having political opinions, knowing about world peace, and having a say in the matters of South Africa.
You know, it's just interesting. Like, why does everything have to be political?
Mm.
There are some things that we don't need to politicize. You know, like children at school playing games doesn't need to be politicized. Literature doesn't all need to be politicized. Television, beauty pageants. There are some things that maybe it's better if they're not.
Just
maybe
call them what they are.
Have more fun if they're just fun.
Yeah.
How about that?
And a friend of mine actually posted something similar a couple of days ago saying, why does everything have to be politicized? And on top of that, why do so many people feel compelled to comment on everything?
Well,
I've started muting and unfollowing so many people because there is just not a thing that happens and certain people don't feel like they have to.
Especially when they're angry. I hate that.
Oh, goodness.
Isn't that social media's fault? Isn't that because of social media? Now everyone thinks that suddenly they're a commentator.
I wouldn't say social media's fault. I think social media enabled it.
Yeah, it enabled it. They were like that before. Yeah.
We in this
room. They were messaging their friends saying the exact same things that they would on Twitter or whatever.
Exactly.
Well, maybe we should just say, like, hey, douchebags, shut up.
Yeah.
Just shut up. Like, the rest of us, we're happy to talk, but you shut up.
Well, Metro FM has apparently apologized for a new deleted Twitter poll, which they had up.
What did they say?
Well.
Asking if Miss South Africa Zozibini Twinsy was stunning, just okay, or the wrong choice.
Wow. But again, like, why is that controversial? Isn't that what everybody in the whole country is saying?
That's what they're judged on anyway.
Pretty? Yeah. Wow, Metro has to apologize.
Yeah.
Someone's going to be fired.
The poll. We'll find out who's responsible.
Uh-oh.
That noise I just made is the only noise I can make when I hear a story like that. On the 3rd of September, Siv Ngesi, who's a regular friend of ours here on the show, will host Africa Tikkun's second annual gala dinner called The Game Changers of Our Time. The event recognizes prominent South Africans who've changed the game in their industry, as well as celebrate Africa Tikkun's 25 years of legacy. To join South Africa's most influential business professionals, I went to one of these. It was superb.
Mm-hmm.
They really are a great organization, Africa Tikkun. To join South Africa's most influential business professionals, celebrities, and leading organizations aspiring to end child poverty and youth unemployment, visit africatikkun.org. That's Africa with a K, Tikkun, T-I-K-K-U-N.org.
Another name with a nice ring to it.
Absolutely. All proceeds go towards upskilling, educating, and creating jobs for South Africa's youth. So no one's going to profiteer off you here. What we're doing is trying to raise money for young people in this country so they can get jabs.
Jabs.
Right. We want lots of jabs for people. Mm. People want jabs.
Gareth, you sent me an interesting article yesterday.
Yes. Did I?
And it said, I think you'll be interested in this. Hedgehogs, cannabis.
Oh, yes.
And then it stopped. It was just that it sliced off the headline at that. Oh, I was like, you think I like hedgehogs and cannabis?
It caught you at that.
That was what you would be most interested in.
But the full title is Hedgehogs, Cannabis Bread, and Horse Placenta, 13 Weird Excellent. And Wonderful Health Foods in History.
All sounds good. Let's hear them.
From snail water to roasted sheep's lungs.
Yes.
Some of the strangest foods in history. And this is weird. The woman who wrote this is Fiona Snailham.
Oh, yes. She's great. She's the best. Mm. What does Fiona Snailham have to say?
Well, she said, you know, it was all about balancing the body's humours, yes. Which is phlegm, blood,
yes,
yellow bile, and black bile.
Bile.
And if you modified this, the system became irregular. So that's what it was. It wasn't like your pH levels and your sugar levels. It was,
bile.
It was those.
Isn't that a disgusting word?
Why do I feel like I can taste it?
Bile.
Just phlegm and blood next to each other are a problem for me. So these are some of the weird and wonderful health food associations in history.
All right.
Pestilence. What is that?
Pestilence. Well, it's when you had some kind of infection, you had a pestilence, didn't you?
Like leprosy.
Yes, that was called a pestilence.
Yes. So the meat of hedgehog was used for lepers.
Really?
Yes, those who dry the hedgehog's intestines and grind them to a powder and eat a little with that.
Sounds marvelous.
And then it says, are made to piss, even if they cannot do so otherwise.
I'm feeling so nauseous from this.
This is a great story. I'm glad I sent it to you. Yes, go on. There's more. a pestilence.
Yeah. Stewed prunes and prostitutes.
Well, we know what that does. Stewed prunes.
Has a mild laxative effect.
Right.
But they were put to a very different use in Elizabethan England.
Why?
During the late 1500s, prunes. Were thought to work as both a preventative and cure for STDs.
Oh,
well.
Stewed prunes to help you with your prostitution problem.
Yes. So a prostitute's dwelling place might be identified by the sighting of a dish of stewed prunes in the window.
Of course, yes.
And two or three fleering wench sitting knitting or sewing in her shop.
I love that that's the sign, you know, peeping at people's windows.
Isn't that the greatest wench? We just can't say that anymore.
No, we can't.
This is arguably the greatest article.
And that was taken from Thomas Dekker's Jacobean comedy, The Honest Whore, number 2.
Oh, nice.
The Honest Whore.
As opposed to a Dishonest Whore, which you should avoid at all costs.
Then how about cornflakes to curb the sexual appetite?
Oh.
I've heard about this before. Somehow Kellogg's.
John Harvey Kellogg?
Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't like
late 19th
people.
Century. He was a physician, was working at the Battle Creek Sanitarium in Michigan.
Yeah, he did not like people masturbating.
Yeah, he considered any form of sexual activity to be detrimental to health.
Mm-hmm.
He was particularly concerned about the risk of self-pollution amongst his patients.
Yes. Whoa. I mean, you should be very aware of this.
He listed 39 possible symptoms of masturbation in his book, Plain Facts for Old and Young, Embracing the Natural History and Hygiene of Organic Life.
Wow.
So some of the health problems that you could get from knocking one out were...
according to him now.
According to him. Yeah, acne, epilepsy,
defective
development, and stiff joints.
Yes. I mean, I've had all those problems. How about you?
So he advocated a diet of bland foods.
Yeah, like Rice Krispies and cornflakes and all that other shit.
Bread, baked bread and crackers.
Right.
It's kind of sick and twisted if you put more thought to it, that now there's this million, dare I say, billion-dollar business targeted largely at kids.
Oh, you mean no. Like, yeah, cereal. Cereal. Like cereals. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
So many kids have blue balls these days.
No, it's absolutely true. Like the whole, all the boring foods that you have for breakfast that your parents used to force feed you.
Yes. All to stop what he dubbed self-pollution.
Mm-hmm.
So they sold the cereal as something that aided both digestion and reduced sexual urges. I suppose there's nothing sexy about a whole mouthful of dried cornflakes.
When you think about it. Yeah, and popped rice.
It really is boring.
I'm sure there was some stigma when Kellogg's first came.
I used to hate having to eat that stuff before school in the mornings.
Really?
Mm. And I can
like
say this
cereal?
Because they're not a sponsor here either, so I can be totally straightforward about it. I hated cereal. I mean, I'd eat it, but only because otherwise you'd be hungry halfway through the day. But ugh.
My problem is I didn't like plain milk, so I would, and this is just typical of the 80s, make Nesquik and pour that over my cereals.
Oh,
because you know cereal isn't sugary
enough.
Some
more sugar
right?
on the sugar, you know, and we didn't know any different. Anyway,
no, I must be the exception because I actually have Cocoa Puffs this morning because I just miss them so much. Yeah, I got some of that.
You have the food intake, the diet of a 5-year-old. You really do.
My palate hasn't changed.
I walked past Sia's office yesterday at 9:15 in the morning, and he had a packet of McDonald's chips. One of those things that they put them in, those red things.
Yeah.
And he had that, and he was chewing out of that.
Who's counting?
No.
Well, see, if you wanted to increase your appetite so that you ate healthy, good healthy foods, you could have used something that they did in ancient Rome. The prize was the hippo mane, which was a byproduct of equine pregnancy.
Oh, sounds great.
So it's a liver-colored mass resembling the placenta. But it is actually a separate mass which forms from a concentration of waste products in the allantoic sac.
Oh.
Also recommended for low libido.
Oh. Wow. You should have started with that, Leah.
And then, of course, there were figs and artichokes, which were aphrodisiacs.
Yeah.
But boards a dietary of health. Warned that they have a tendency to provoke a man to sweat, wherefore they doth engender lice.
I love the way they would describe these diseases in those days. They just had such a florid language for making things sound much more disgusting than they did.
And that was
a pestilence.
Mm. Yeah.
Your pustules seem like they need extrusion. I mean, that you know, there's some of this is still in medical language today. Like, they would say, you didn't die of tuberculosis, you died of consumption.
The black lung.
And exposure. You would die of exposure. You know, they made it sound like it was just so rough. And it was. It was very rough. It was very hard. Here's some health advice from Leanne. Is it, or rather, someone wants health advice from you, okay? Uh-huh. Leanne, this is Tato, wants to know, could you have a bottle of wine and an Avo? Is that a healthy supper?
Well, according to the Naturalis Historia, which was written during the years leading up to his death in AD 79.
Whose death?
Pliny the Elder.
Oh.
Oh, rest in peace, Pliny.
Pliny, yes.
Noted that, well, he had a bit of difficulty in determining whether consumption of wine is generally injurious in its effects or beneficial.
Okay.
Of course, that debate continues today.
Yes.
And you are leading the charge against...
Well, they say a glass a day, you know.
Yeah, come on, Leanne. Tell us if you think that Tato's supper, because Tato says here, I feel great this morning.
Mm.
So obviously that's what Tato had, is a bottle of wine and an Avo.
Did he say a bottle or a glass?
Bottle.
Aye, Tato. Sure.
See, that barely touches sides for a lot of people.
I think he might be onto something.
Definitely. He might have enjoyed...
Definitely, huh?
He might have enjoyed being in Austria in way back when they had Trinktagen or drinking days.
Ah, Trinktagen, yeah.
On which they were prescribed homegrown wines selected for their individual needs. If you want to throw in an Avo in there.
Sure.
Remember that wine is one of the most healthy drinks.
So you count this as a balanced meal?
I'm embracing it.
Why is it that people who drink an enormous amount of wine call it ran.
Wine.
Because I can't enunciate.
Why do they say
wine? Ran.
Am I right?
They're the same people looking for jabs.
Jabs. I want a jab and wine.
Ran. They do say ran. Right?
Yeah, some of them do, especially the homeless without teeth.
Oh.
I'll never forget staying in McGregor, which was Wan town. Going off to the bottle store, of course. And
of
course. I couldn't get my car through the road because there was a body in it.
Oh.
In the road.
That's unfortunate.
And it was a man who'd had too much Wan.
But he's still alive.
Yeah, barely. He was lying on his back. His shoes were off and they were
in the middle of the road.
The shoes were just about a meter from his body. And his friend was dragging him out of the road, shouting at him. And that was because, I mean, the bottle stores there you go to and they've got like a few bottles of good wine.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is behind the counter, under the counter. They pull them out in these sunflower oil containers. And it looks like sunflower oil. It's that yellow.
Oh.
And it's like the offcuts of bad wine.
Holy shit.
And that's what these guys drink.
Man.
Man. Vain for the pain.
Shame. That's a rough life.
Yeah.
Hmm?
It is. And
people are finding it hard, man.
It's still remnants of the DOP system in those areas.
Carl says, I masturbate furiously and I have many of those ailments that you mentioned, Leanne. No, that Kellogg guy is spot on.
You see.
I'm telling you, even if that was true, people had seizures and whatnot, they'd take a seizure just to knock one out.
Okay. I'm telling you. And then here's an interesting question from Fundo. Fundo says, Gareth, to your point earlier about the national health insurance, does this mean that we as citizens will pay or government will pay for our health care if the system goes ahead? Well, government don't make money, Mfundo. They're a non-profit business. They're a cost center. So where do you think the money comes from, that government?
Taxpayers.
Exactly. So you end up paying, Mfundo. I'm terribly sorry to ruin your Tuesday morning, but there is no such thing as government paying for things. Mm-mm. It means you pay. So everybody in the country.
The government does not give people houses.
No.
Taxpayers do.
Yeah. So there we go. That's the short answer to your question. And then let's get Leanne off her grammatical high horse with some maths. What is the.
Oh,
yes,
no.
Yes.
No, oh, no.
What is the inverse of one?
Yeah, Leanne.
Eno.
I hope you got the answer that you were hoping for, Tato. And then, Leanne, you mentioned all body fluids except cum, piss, and shit.
That's true.
people are fact-checking you on your medieval medicine.
I mentioned sweat, phlegm, blood, and bile.
Here's an interesting
point. Oh, I didn't mention snot. That's phlegm.
Graham says, this is a very good point. I love this. Why are angry single femi-Nazis dictating what women can and can't do? Only ugly people have issues with pageants.
Angry?
Ugly feminists.
Feminists.
Yeah, only ugly, this is according to Graham, only ugly, angry feminists have a problem with beauty pageants.
Well, no, it also annoys me when you see someone drop-dead gorgeous saying, no, guys, it's what's on the inside that counts. I'm like, shut up, Victoria.
Not, yeah, shut up. Yeah, yeah.
I remember being in a hair
you
salon.
To say,
who asked you?
Because you're gorgeous.
Yeah, right.
I was in a hair salon once, and there was a very pretty girl standing there getting her hair done.
Her hair did.
And some old lady piped up from under the rollers and said, you're so pretty, you should have been in Miss South Africa. Did you ever enter? And she went, no, my mum wouldn't let me. And I just felt like vomiting.
What, for both of them?
Yeah.
For the old gran and for her. The old gran. Oh, that's
so
great.
Pathetic.
All right. Well, there we go. What a way to end
this
morning.
I'm not a feminist again.
No, I know you're not.
You don't say.
That's one hell of a way to get to 7:30. I'll tell you who our guest is. Heather Massey is an actress and a writer. And if you know me, you know I love history, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, one of the reasons I'm so fond of it is because of the stories that history unearths. So here is one this morning. Do you know who Hedy Lamarr is?
Go on.
Anyone? Are you going to jump
guesses,
in here?
Guesses.
All right. We use what she invented to this day. Hedy was an Austrian-born American film actress who dominated the silver screen in her day. In between scenes and takes, she would spend her time inventing in her film trailer because of her love of science. Mm. So, you know, where a lot of people fall off the train here is that they suppose that it's a great achievement for the first woman to do X. Here is a woman who's competing with men. She already had a career, and she went ahead and became an inventor. Listen to what she invented. In 1942, during her heyday, she and her friend, the composer George Antheil, received a patent for an idea of a radio signaling device or a secret communication system, which was a means of changing radio frequencies to keep enemies from decoding your messages.
Hmm.
Now, this is amazing.
That's
originally
impressive.
Designed to defeat the Nazis, the system became an important step in the development of technology to maintain the security of both military communications and cell phones. And I'll be honest, I didn't know who this person was until the other day. Dory brought her up. She mentioned her in the middle of our recordings of Blind History, and I thought, this is impossible.
Mm.
How can someone who's contributed so much be so unknown to me? I felt like an idiot. So we decided that we would speak to Heather Massey and we'd get her into the studio this morning. How are you, Heather?
Hello. You're wonderful good. To be here.
Nice to see you. So first of all, how are you connected to Hedy? What's the story here?
Well, I am here performing in Sandton at Theatre on the Square with my solo show called Hedy, The Life and Inventions of Hedy Lamarr.
Fantastic.
And I feature her story to celebrate women in science, because before I became a professional actor in New York City, I was studying astrophysics because I wanted to be an astronaut. So featuring Hedy's story is my way of bringing my love of science with my love of art.
You know, sometimes people have a love for two things that are almost on polar opposites of what most human experience is, and acting and science don't normally go together. Most of the actresses I've spoken to don't know the first thing about science.
Yeah.
Most of the scientists I've spoken to don't care a thing about acting, right? So it's an interesting thing that you and she shared this.
I have encountered a lot of performers and theater artists who used to be in science. And to me, there are a lot of connections between art and science. I say that both are looking to answer the same questions. Who are we? Why are we here? Mm-hmm. And being an astronaut and being an actor both involve a transcendence of normal existence.
Right. Well, that's a good point. But do you ever hear of them going the other way? Like going from acting to science? Not as often.
Well, I guess I'm not around as many scientists until recently, so I haven't been hearing that. But I actually did. I actually did, because I'm going to be performing with the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory. And the woman I met there, she had gotten a scholarship in acting, and then she ended up going into physics. Yeah, and now they are working on a mission to the sun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's pretty cool. And she started in performance. So she has both. And she did sort of go the other way. She didn't take her scholarship.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Tell me quickly let's just talk about Hedy. And I want to hear more about who this woman is. So she invented this stuff, but she started off as a film actress, right? I mean, tell me the whole story here. Why haven't I heard of her?
Why haven't you heard of her? Basically, because of men who were too proud in the Navy to take a look at this patent and realize how important it was. She and George Antheil, they gave the patent to the U.S. Navy to support the Allied forces to defeat the Nazis, to defeat Hitler, and the Navy shelved it. But it was top secret, so nobody else could use it at the time.
Right.
So it was 1942 when they received their patent. It was 1959 when it was first used in a sonobuoy system.
So it didn't help us defeat the Nazis, but it could have.
It could have. Mm. Yeah. But it did help in 1962 during the Cuban Missile Crisis. It was finally employed.
Right.
And some accounts state that once Khrushchev learned that our torpedoes were now foolproof and we had this secret communication system is when he pulled the Soviet Union's missiles out of Cuba.
Which, of course, was the closest we've come to a massive global conflict since the end of the Second World War.
Right, so think of all the lives that were saved over that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what kind of a person was she? What do we know about her?
She was she was amazing, obviously. People just saw her face. She was known as the most beautiful woman in the world, so people didn't see past her face to know that she had an extremely high intellect. And instead of spending all of her time at Hollywood parties, like most of the stars were probably doing, she had her drafting table, and she had her tools, and she had a library of reference materials, because she wasn't formally trained.
Mm-hmm.
She left school at 15. And the only schooling she had after that was studying drama with Max Reinhardt in Berlin. So she loved chemistry when she was in school, and she loved the sciences, but she didn't have formal training. So she did her own research. And basically she said that ideas came to her easily. So a lot of them are sort of common sense. So she was dating Howard Hughes, the great airplane designer at the time.
He was a bit of a whack job, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. He dated everyone, and he was apparently impotent. I'm not sure. Yeah. She said he was the worst lover she ever had. So, sorry, Howard. You got to date everyone, though. So she was looking at his airplane design and thought that the wings were too square, that a square design would be too slow. So she got a book on fish, and she got a book on birds, because these are what move aerodynamically, correct? Right? So she found the fastest fish and the fastest bird, and she combined the shapes into an aircraft design with swept wings.
Brilliant.
So there's no...
We're still using them today.
Yeah, right. So she may be responsible for that. I think she probably was. There's no definitive proof, but, you know, of course she wouldn't have gotten credit. You know, he would have handed that off to a designer who would have used it and then gotten the credit. So,
Well, apparently she wasn't recognized in her time, though, which is always sad.
Right.
Like, I always hate this when people don't get the credit that they deserve for being ahead of their time.
Right. Well, the first credit that she got was in 1997, so that's 55 years after the patent.
Right.
And the Electronic Frontier Foundation called her up to give her the Pioneer Award, and she said, it's about time, you know, which it was. So she was, so still within her lifetime, she was recognized in her lifetime. Then she got the Victor Kaplan Medal of the Austrian Association of Patent Holders and Inventors, and posthumously, she was inducted into the Inventors Hall of Fame along with George, who had already passed. And so she's gotten a lot of awards. Inventor's Day in Austria, Germany, and Switzerland is on her birthday, November 9th. And the Hedy Lamarr Prize for Invention is given on that day.
So tell me about the show.
So, yes. So the show, I premiered it off Broadway in 2016 on her birthday, and I've been touring it around the world. I've been around the States and also to Zimbabwe. This is my third time to South Africa. I've been to Ireland, Northern Ireland, Italy, and Sweden with the show, and I have a great deal of fun playing Hedy. Because I interact with the audience as Hedy, which is a lot of fun, and each audience is unique and exciting for me. And I also play all of the other characters in the play.
Wow. Oh my God, you must be exhausted by the end of your performance.
but it's fun. It's invigorating. I do about 35 characters.
Oh, goodness.
And, some of them only get one line, but some get full scenes. So, including like Jimmy Stewart and Betty Davis and Louis B. Mayer and all these folks.
What drew you to that period of American film history and of her in particular?
I came to her for the science because I was looking for a woman in science to feature. And her story is just so colorful. And also I wanted to, you know, there are just so many women who don't get credit. There's so many stories of women who have done important things and their male counterparts got credit, but we're not going to know all of the truth of all of those stories. So I feel like once we know these stories, to hold them up to the light and say, look, here's a role model for our young women, who are interested in math and science and technology.
Well, this is brilliant for you because you get to marry those two loves, art and science, in a show. Mm-hmm. And you play these 33 characters, which I think is just unbelievable. And this is the first in your planned trilogy of solo plays.
Yes. Wow. Yes. Yes, so I plan to have a trilogy. Once I have the time to... It's hard when I'm self-producing this tour throughout the world.
So you're producing, you're writing, you're acting as 30-plus different characters.
Yeah.
All right. What am I doing?
But don't worry. She gets to keep all the money.
I'm rolling in it. But so the next play is going to be on... Have you heard of Sally Ride?
No.
Another woman you should know about.
I know about the song Ride, Sally Ride.
Right. So there are a couple of songs that have Sally Ride or whatnot. So Sally Ride was America's first woman in space. So she was actually the third woman in space because there were two Russian cosmonauts prior to her, but she's the first American woman in space and she flew on the space shuttle.
Okay.
And it was also, she has since passed from cancer, but she was very much an advocate for keeping young women in in STEM fields. Mm-hmm. So she saw that about middle school, the middle school years, so for us that's 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, is sort of where the interest kind of waned because of the signals that young women get about, oh, girls don't do that. So that's something that's really important to me, doing the show. Part of the mission is to encourage young women in science and technology and to inspire audiences. But especially here in South Africa, I love talking to the young women because I tell them that their country needs them because they're just the science and technology is building here. And I've learned that the young people just really have a love for country and want to do something for the country. So say, if you love math and science, do that. Don't listen to anybody who says you can't do it because you can and your country needs you.
I think this is fantastic. I mean, it also marries not just art and science, but also history. Which
yeah,
is terrific.
History. Yeah. So it's the science. It's the history. It's you said what drew me to the time period. That's right. I've always been attracted to period work.
But there was also the golden age of film. I mean, stars were stars. They weren't all going on Oprah and talking about their mental illness.
Right.
They used to be glamorous and, you know, sophisticated, and they were untouchable.
And she was the epitome of glamour, known as the most beautiful woman in the world. So,
no pressure.
And that pressure had led her to be a bit reclusive in her later years, which is sad, but at least she finally got credit.
What happened to your foot? So you're wearing a moon boot.
Oh, yes. So I was in George working with the Nkobeku Science Center, or Youth and Science Center, because I do the show with a lot of science centers here in South Africa for National Science Week.
An experiment go wrong?
I didn't. No, I wasn't doing it. I was walking from the performance venue to where I was going to prepare, and I walked through a doorway with an uneven surface and I twisted my foot and I broke my fifth metatarsal. So, but I'm getting around well, and I had my technical rehearsal yesterday, and we've worked it all out, and the show is still as intact as ever.
Sorry, fantastic. I'll take my jaw off the ground now.
What's exciting? Pain? It's not really painful. I can feel it a little now because I've been given permission to put weight on it, which is very liberating. But it really, I barely took the pain medicine.
It's, I mean, you really have 30 plus fun characters to play. You can't afford to not be on your feet.
I know, but what was the alternative? Not do the show. That is not true. That is not acceptable.
The show goes on. And isn't that Theater on the Square a great place to do
it's
your thing?
It's amazing. And we have Daphne Kuhn here behind me.
Daphne,
who is...
come over here. I want to talk to you. Daphne, you're one of a handful of people who's really kept theater alive in the heart of Sandton. And I've got to tell you, I think there's such admiration for that. Because we live in a country where there isn't a huge appreciation for the performing arts, and I know that there are people like you who keep the flag flying.
Well, that's very kind of you. Of course we do. Of course we're here to uplift people, to entertain, to educate. And it's such a joy to be able to combine educational theatre with theatre that's historical.
How did you find out about Heather?
I picked up something about Heather's Hedy Lamarr inventions and her life through a friend of mine in the theatre. And then I just followed through, and she was in touch immediately. She was coming to South Africa.
We were
trying to work out
how. You were coming anyway?
Yeah, in 27. Yes. The week before, I was flying through Johannesburg to Bulawayo to do the show. She contacted me, and I had an overnight between the flights, and I went to see Old Man in the Sea.
That's right. We had Old Man in the Sea, and then you came about a year later, and you saw our visiting Mr. Green.
Yes.
We've been in constant contact.
For 2 years almost.
To try and put this together. Yeah. Not so easy. But now that Heather is also a Fulbright specialist, it made it easier because part of her trip and her performances have been sponsored on the American Embassy and Fulbright, and so many parties are involved to make it possible for young people to be educated and uplifted through this particular wonderful Hollywood actress and her invention.
Yeah.
And of course, I thought this would be opportune to have To celebrate Women's Month.
How many nights are we going to have this?
It's 2 weeks. It's okay. 2 weeks from Tuesdays to Saturdays. Yes. Bookings are open. You can book through the theatre or, of course, through CompuTicket. It's a very exciting project, and we're so excited and proud to have Heather here.
And how do you manage to source so much variety for the theatre on the square? It really is an interesting venue. I mean, it's just, it's very, you know, cozy, and everybody kind of sits within proximity of each other.
Yes.
It's a smallish crowd by theatre standards, because it's, you want it to be intimate.
Absolutely.
You're right up there in front of the performer, and it's, you know, we've done a couple of events there together and all kinds of things. It's a lovely place.
It is lovely, and it's intimate, as you say. It seats 200 people, which is perfect for a drama presentation.
Yes.
So I'm constantly.
It's too many for an orgy, but it's good for drama.
Yes, it's orgy red.
Well, there's a bit about Hetty. You might be interested in that regard.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, now you've started something. What?
I saw the uncensored, and I thought, that's good for Hetty, because one of her most infamous films was banned around the world because it was first named Symphony of Love and ended up being renamed Ecstasy.
But hang on, this is the 1950s. No. 40s, 30s.
This was the 30s. This was before she...
There was nothing controversial then.
Oh, there was. She was in Europe. So she was from Vienna, and when she was in her late teens, she filmed this movie in Prague, and it's sort of an art film. It was right when sound started coming in, and so it's famous because she runs through a field naked, and she swims.
Oh, wow.
She swims fully bare-bottomed, and then there was the first depiction of female orgasm on screen by Hedy Lamarr. So there you go, uncensored.
Well, let's not relate that to the theater on the
screen. Oh, no. It was, but it's very, very tame. You can find it on YouTube.
Oh, I'm so relieved.
It's just a picture of her face. And there's a scene in the play about it, because it's just so ironic and funny.
Well, back to the red. The red, of course, is synonymous with theatres such as London theatres and so many others.
Famous red curtains, right?
Of course. And then, of course, the sexual aspect of the orgy, the red is very sensual.
Back in those days, most of the actresses were also prostitutes.
I don't know about that.
They used to hang around together, the actors and the prostitutes. They were both considered not really great careers.
They ate prunes.
What is it? Saint Genesius, I think. I forget the name of the saint that's the patron saint of actors and prostitutes.
But let me get back to the red.
The theater.
Of course, I have a sponsor, and we're very grateful to Auto in general. And of course, their branding is red. So, of course, it works out so well together.
I just learned that. Mm. So, as you were saying, I'm here as a Fulbright specialist, which is quite an honor through the U.S. State Department and World Learning. And then I also have support from the National Science Foundation here, Department of Science and Technology, and SASTA, the South African Agency for Science and Technology Advancement.
Very good.
Yes, because I started in the Limpopo province with the Rural Education Festival, and then went to George for the Nkobeko Youth and Science Center, and then to the Christoph Mayer Mass and Science Center in Msalani.
And therefore we're appealing to schools to bring groups of students to this interesting play, and we really hoping to hear from all the schools.
And do you find that there's an interest in this stuff? I mean, are people excited about science? Are people talking about it? Is it something that's got a lot of attention?
If people, I just get such good reaction from this story, and I think that's a testament to the strength of the story and to what Hetty's contributions were. And it's just everyone uses this technology.
Right.
Cell phones, Wi-Fi, GPS, Bluetooth, satellite guidance. It's in the U.S. MilStar system of military satellites. It's in barcode scanning.
It's fantastic.
And mobile healthcare systems.
Very interesting, if I could interrupt, is that
Daphne, you've really taken over the show. I mean, really.
Because she's a powerhouse. You know this woman. She's amazing. Talk about producing.
I was talking to Heather, and I kind of co-opted you. Now suddenly you're the host.
She is. I would like to say that it's now part of the government school syllabus. the Hedy study Lamarr. Of Hedy and Lamarr. Yes. Her invention.
Fantastic. Wow. Well, listen, I've got to say, Heather, very good of you to be in South Africa and to share this with us. I'm fascinated. I think it's great that we can get to hear more about Hedy Lamarr. What an interesting woman. And Daphne, thanks for making it happen.
Mm.
I mean, look at all of this. If you want to find out more, it's at the Theatre on the Square, and it's all happening immediately. You book your tickets. 2 weeks is the run, and you can get them at CompuTicket or at the Theatre on the Square. Thank you so much, Heather.
Thank
pleasure
you
to meet
so you. Thank you so much. And if anyone wants to look out where I am in the world, my my website is heathermassey.com.
M-A-S-S-I-E.
Yes.
heathermassey.com. All right. Very good. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you, Gareth.
Hope you'll have an excellent week from here on in. It is that time of year where we all feel like we need some extra pampering. Yep. Skin Sense Day Spa in Rivonia, Johannesburg hosts a comprehensive range of expert beauty treatments for women and for men. This month's specials include a Women's Month package with a Swedish massage, a manicure, and more. There's also a Matric Farewell package, microblading package, and more up for grabs. If you want to find out all about this stuff, you can go along to cliffcentral.com now. Get one of the August deals from the Skin Sense Day Spa. Or go to skinsense.co.za where you can book treatments and shop online.
Mm.
Very nice.
Very good.
Didn't you go recently for one, Leanne?
Oh, it's one of my favorite places.
Isn't it just? Mm. I can only imagine how you luxuriated there for a whole day. CNU, you should actually.
Oh, yeah.
We should have a spa day together.
I always go for a deep cleanse facial.
All right. Thank you, Sia. That's great information. We needed to hear that as well.
This is CliffCentral.com.